sermon today is the patience of the saints. If I say that, the patience of the saints. Trying to sink them. Some of you got it, some of you flew through it. Amen. So those of you that got it, I can tell you're in tune with me. We're going to align. You're going to get something out of this. Those of you that rushed through it, I encourage you to slow down and absorb what God wants to say to the church today. So let's pray together before we begin. Lord, we thank you for this beautiful day, the beautiful presence of your Spirit, all of our Bible classes, the teachers, the students that are digging into your word, hungry for more of you, all of these great testimonies. God, we thank you for these encouraging testimonies that we heard today from our saints about the great power of your Spirit working in their lives. And it was so encouraging. Thank you for it, God. You knew we needed to hear those things today. Thank you for our worship leaders, our musicians, our singers, for everyone that's working hard to let the Jesus name Pentecostal Church be an active part of your kingdom and be a light to this community. Be with us as we preach. We speak boldly as we ought to. Let your word have free course in our hearts and minds. In Jesus' name we pray. If you want the word of God to have free reign inside of you today, would you say amen?
Amen.
And I'm going to ask you a question today. What could be worse than what we have seen and what we have studied? What could be worse than what's going on right now in our country, in our world? And what could be worse than the things that we have studied about in history? Could there be anything possibly worse than things that have happened? And then Matthew 24, 21, there is a key verse there. And it says, "For then there will be great tribulation, such as not been from the beginning of the world until now. No, and never will be." Brother Morris, where's he at? I really need you to help me out, brother. And just maybe cut back the midst just a little bit. Revelation, and then Revelation 13, 10. And it says, "If anyone is to be taken captive, to captivity he goes. And if anyone is to be slain, with a sword, and with a sword he must be slain. And here is a call for the endurance and faith of the saints." The patience of the saints.
Amen.
They like to say that as Rome burned, that Nero watched and played the fiddle. And I think that is probably apocryphal, but from history, we know that Nero was more than happy to watch Rome burn. He didn't like all of the... give me a little bit of juice up here, brother. I'm looking, you killed me off here a little bit. And he wanted to get rid of the old buildings and the ghetto areas and burn the place down so he could build himself a brand new palace. They say that he did rebuild and rebuilt it, that he took up one third of Rome, that was such a massive palace that he rebuilt. And history tells us that the fires, they don't accept the fires. And a lot of people think that Nero did or had somebody do it. And there were riots and protesting in the street and looters, much like there are right now. And the fire, they even actually were able to put it out, but then somebody relit the fires, and by the time it was done, the city was devastated. And you know the history that Nero decided that he needed a scapegoat for what happened. And who did he blame? He blamed the Christians. And it was a terrible time of persecution for the Christians. And they were sorely persecuted and in terrible ways. You see in our graphic for our sermon today, you see that there are Christians gathered in one of the Roman Colosseums, and they're all praying together as they release lions to hungry lions to attack them and to kill them. They are defenseless. And you see in the background, you see that there are crosses hanging. There are boards or wood that has been posted and been set up, that there are Christians tied to all of those posts, and they have been waxed down and set on fire like torches. When what could be worse than that? I was doing some research for this. Harris is got a new book about a missionary couple that were separated. I think it was Russia or something like that, and the husband was put into a men's prison and the wife was put into a women's prison, and while they were in there, they just kept preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ to all of the other prisoners that were there. They survived and came out to tell their story. What could be worse, though, than having that happen to you? Going through something like that. And what could be worse? We have seen the capacity of anti-Semitism to wipe out millions of Jews in a short amount of years. We have seen communist dictators wipe out three times that many of their own people to gain control of nations. We have seen the whole world embroiled in wars more than once. And we have seen tsunamis wipe out hundreds of thousands of people in just a moment. We've seen droughts and famines and diseases spread across the globe. And we've seen civil wars and tribal wars and brothers selling brothers into slavery and unimaginable human cruelty. And we've seen hundreds of millions of unborn children slaughtered without impunity. 3,000 children are aborted before they can be born in the United States of America every single day. 2 children every minute are aborted in the United States of America. What could possibly be worse than that? In the book of Revelation, in the book of Matthew chapter 24, the beginning at verse 15, it says, "So when you see the abomination of desolation spoken of by the prophet Daniel standing in the holy place, let the reader understand. Then let those who are in Judea flee to the mountains, and let the one who is on the housetop not go down to take what is in his house, and let the one who is in the field not turn back to take his cloak. And alas, for women who are pregnant and for those who are nursing infants in those days, pray that your flight may not be in winter or on a Sabbath, for then there will be great tribulation, such as has not been from the beginning of the world until now, no, and never will be. And if those days had not been cut short, no human being would be saved. But for the sake of the elect, those days will be cut short. And if anyone says to you, 'Look, here is the Christ,' or 'There he is,' do not believe it. For false Christs and false prophets will arise and perform great signs and wonders so as to lead astray, if possible, even the elect. See, I have told you beforehand. So, if they say to you, 'Look, he is in the wilderness,' do not go out. If they say, 'Look, he is in the inner rooms,' do not believe it. For as the lightning comes from the east and shines as far as the west, so will be the coming of the Son of Man. Wherever the corpse is, there the vultures will gather." Is there anything that could be worse than what we are seeing happening in our world right now? Is there anything that could be worse, as we just referred to you some historical accounts? Is there anything that could be worse than this? In the book of Revelation chapter 12, beginning at the end of the chapter and then continuing into chapter 13, and in Revelation 12, 17, "Then the dragon became furious with the woman and went off to make war on the rest of her offspring, on those who keep the commandments of God
and hold to the testimony of Jesus. And he stood on the sand of the sea. Revelation 13:1, and I saw a beast rising out of the sea with 10 horns and 7 heads, with 10 diadems on its horns and blasphemous names on its heads. And the beast that I saw was like a leopard. Its feet were like a bear's, and its mouth was like a lion's mouth. And to it the dragon gave his power and his throne and his great authority. One of its heads seemed to have a mortal wound, but its mortal wound was healed. And the whole earth marveled as they followed the beast. And they worshipped the dragon, for he had given his authority to the beast. And they worshipped the beast, saying, "Who is like the beast, and who can fight against it?" What could possibly be worse? They are setting up statues. Bafflement, set of what they consider to be what Satan would look like in a animalistic form in the squares, in the public squares of our cities across our nation. Verse 5, and the beast was given a mouth uttering haughty and blasphemous words, and it was allowed to exercise authority for 42 months. It opened its mouth to utter blasphemies against God, blaspheming his name and his dwelling, that is, those who dwell in heaven. Also, it was allowed to make war on the saints and to conquer them, and authority was given it over every tribe and people and language and nation. And all who dwell on earth will worship it, everyone whose name has not been written before the foundation of the world, in the book of life of the Lamb who was slain. If anyone has an ear to hear, let him hear. If anyone is to be taken captive, to captivity he goes. If anyone is to be slain with the sword must he be slain. Here is a call for the endurance and the faith of the saints. Everybody say it with me, the patience of the saints. Say it. And it is true that much of this prophecy in the book of Matthew chapter 24 had an immediate impact on Christ's generation. And God did not take it lightly when his own people rejected his son. And so this prophecy had an immediate and direct application. The region of Judea and the city of Jerusalem were targeted by God with his violent anger over their cruel torture and murder of his son Jesus. The second temple, history tells us, was desecrated. The place was razed, and anything of value was looted, and every pillar and stone of the temple was dismantled and broken into a million pieces. While the Roman army besieged the city, the radical Jews fought amongst themselves for control of the city. And during the 18-month siege, famine, infighting, and disease ravaged the city. What happened to the thousands of Christian believers during this national collapse? Where did they go? They were able to escape. They saw many of the things Jesus warned them about starting to happen before their eyes. They fled before God's wrath wrecked the city of David. It pays to pay attention.
Yeah.
It pays to know the Word of God.
Yeah.
It pays to pop your head out of your little Holy Ghost comfort zone every once in a while.
Yeah.
And have a look around and see what's going on around you. And so we know that Matthew 24, as with all prophecy, had an immediate and direct application, and it helped the Christians of the day escape the coming punishment that fell upon Jerusalem. And it had been thousands of years until the 20th century before the Jews ever were restored and returned to their homeland.
Yeah.
Now today, we who are sitting in this building are living in unprecedented times of prophetic fulfillment.
Amen.
Because prophecy is a funny thing. It does not concern itself with following a perfect historical timeline or announcing play-by-play action. Prophecy could care less about what you want to know. The prophecy is there to tell you what you need to know. And prophecy is there to tell you what you need to do. And it has a hidden purpose to the casual observer, because the focus of prophecy is always one and the same thing. Prophecy only ever has one focus, and it is to save God's people from impending disaster and judgment. We're always worried about when and how and this, that, and the other. But God is like, if you're not ready, then what good is knowing all of that going to do you? Prophecy is concerned first and foremost about the moral condition of our hearts. Let me put it to you in plain English. Prophecy is like this. Jesus is coming. Are you ready? Jesus is coming. Prophecy will say, are you living the life? Jesus is coming. Are you allowing the Holy Spirit to reign in your hearts? Prophecy is that Jesus gave in Matthew 24 had a clear warning of immediate danger. But there are also things in Christ's prophecies there that were never fulfilled. Hallelujah. And there is something much, much worse coming on the world. Something that will be unmatched in its ruthless and global influence. And the dragon is positioning himself over the sea of humanity. And a beast empire is going to rise from that sea, made up of 10 nations. And the Antichrist himself will directly rule 3 of those 10 nations. And so there will be a time of trouble coming on the world such as never been seen in the history of humanity. What could possibly be worse? There's something worse coming. There's going to be a third temple built, more impressive than anything Solomon or Herod could have possibly conceived of. And you know who's going to let that happen? The devil's going to let that happen. You know why, Brother Danny, the devil's going to let that happen? Because he wants to stand in the temple and declare himself to be God and to be the Messiah of humanity. But once he settles into his little throne, the Bible teaches us that this little horn, this Antichrist, is going to unleash persecution and trouble worse than anything the world has ever seen or known or will. Matter of fact, Jesus said it's going to be so bad that if the time was not cut short, that no human would survive. You know why? Because the devil hates humanity. And his goal is to kill everybody. What do people do who are controlled and who have completely given their lives over to Satan? They kill others and they kill themselves. Everything they do is to kill themselves. Everything, and it leads to things such as suicides and other things of that nature. The devil wants to kill and destroy. There is something much worse coming on the world. And Jesus even went so far as to say that even the most stalwart believers are going to be distressed to the max. That they will be hemmed in and under such mental and emotional and spiritual pressure that death will feel like a gift from God. Second Timothy 4:3-4 The Paul told Timothy that for the time is coming when people will not endure sound teaching, but having itching ears, they will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own passions, and will turn away from listening to the truth and wander off into myths. And the spiritual darkness that Paul warned Timothy about has been gaining power for a long time, and it has gained immense power over people in these end times. And I'm calling people the end timers. These end timers are enamored with conspiracies. I have a friend who is apostolic, and even those who walk in the Spirit can be enamored and drawn aside by conspiracies. And he actually teaches a high school class on conspiracies in Mount Vernon, Illinois. Right here. Not in Chicago, not in New York City, not in San Francisco, not in L.A., not in Portland, but right here, 31 miles from here, you can go to high school and they'll teach you a class on conspiracies. It's a sign of the time. They love false leaders who are full of flatteries. They cannot abide the truth or anyone who speaks it. They are reprobate in mind, and the sin in their hearts are like overflowing sewers.
Right.
And John prophesied in Revelation 13:10, and here is the patience and the endurance and faith of the saints. Hallelujah, Brother Darnell. Listen to this. McLaurin in his commentary says, nothing in sorrow, nothing in trial, nothing in temptation, nothing in antagonism has the smallest power to divert us from doing what we know to be right. The darkness may feel impenetrable, and the difficulties may seem insuperable, but with patient endurance, we press on.
Yes.
We know this is a battle, and we know we are going to win. We know Jesus has overcome the world, and we know that the enemy is most desperate and fights with his fiercest desperation just before he is about to be defeated.
Yes.
The Bible says because he knows his time is short, he will go out with great wrath. Let me tell you something, church. Hallelujah. When you feel like giving up, that's when you need to fight the hardest.
Yes.
When you feel like throwing the towel, when you feel like it's hopeless, when you feel like what is the point, that's when you need to double down, triple down, and fight like you've never fought in your life.
Yes.
Because you are on the precipice of breaking through the enemy's lines. You are just on the cusp of getting a victory. There are sins and strongholds and strangleholds of things that have had a grip on us from childhood. And sometimes we get into a fight and a spiritual battle with those things, and all of the devil's wrath comes down on our heads because he knows Jesus is getting ready to set us free and give us liberty. Hallelujah. It's a powerful work. It's hard to do because that's when the fight and the heat of the battle comes down on us so hard. The Bible says there will be tribulation such has never been seen from the world before or will be since. There is something worse coming on the world. And church, Jesus said, I told you beforehand that you're going to have some grit in your spirit. Built-in obedience, like a soldier in war. They train you and they get in your face. They wear you down. They demean you, but they're training you to be strong because they know on the battlefield that the enemy is going to demean you and cuss you and curse you and make fun of you. Hallelujah, but you're going to stand there and you're going to keep on pressing through because you were trained, because you got some grit in your spirit.
Oh, yeah. Great. Yeah.
seats. It's not time to whip out. Amen. It's time to break out the big guns. It's not time to cut back and cut short and try to have more time to yourself. But what it's time to do is to get in there and do more than you ever have before. To pray longer, to fast more, to witness more, and keep on pressing. And the more the pressure and the more the tribulation presses in on you, the more you know you've got to put out through the power of the Holy Ghost. Paul told Timothy in 2 Timothy 1:7, "For God has not given us a spirit of fear and timidity, but the power, love, and self-discipline." Hallelujah. We got to double down on love.
All right,
love. I like what Deborah said this morning in her testimony. I don't want to know the power of his resurrection, but I want to know the love that put him on the cross.
Yes. What a powerful thing.
Because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. But God, don't let it be the church. Hallelujah. Let the church's love get hotter. Let the church's love get so hot that people get around you and are singed by it. In Romans chapter 8, verse 35, 36, and 37, it says, "Can anything ever separate us from Christ's love?" Don't you love those rhetorical questions in the Bible? And then he goes on and says, "Does it mean he no longer loves us if we have trouble or calamity? Does it mean he no longer loves us when we're persecuted or we're hungry or destitute? Does it mean he no longer loves us or cares if we're in danger or threatened with death?" But it said in Psalm 44:22, "For your sake we are killed every day and are being slaughtered by like sheep." But Paul said to the church of Rome, "No, despite all these things, overwhelming victory is ours through Christ, who loves us."
Oh, yes. Hallelujah.
Not even the powers of hell can separate us from God's love. So we've got to keep doing what we know is right.
Amen.
And if you want to get theological, you can add an ES on the end of it. What do you do when you get a right and an ES? You get a righteous.
All right, man.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
What is being righteous? It means knowing what is right, doing what is right. No matter how much wrong is around you, you keep doing what's right anyway.
Amen.
He told the church in Rome later, Romans 12, 12, "Rejoice in hope. Be patient in tribulation. Be constant in prayer." The patience of the saints of God. With the tribulation, we're going to keep on praying. With the tribulation, we're going to keep on believing and hoping for the good things to come. We're going to get through this together.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. After the Apostle Paul was stoned and left for dead outside the city of Lystra, the brothers, the Bible says, came around him and they had left him for dead. There's a lot of church folks, people trying to do things for God, get beat up, knocked down. You look at it and you gossip about it and you think, "Well, hallelujah, I guess they're done for now." That's not what brothers and sisters in the church do.
Right.
You see a brother stoned, persecuted, and beat down. They gather around them and they begin to pray.
The Bible says God raised Paul up. You know what he did? After being stoned and left for dead, you know what he did? They stoned him and left him for dead for preaching Jesus and healed the sick, cast out demons. You know what he did? The Bible says they got together and they went back through all the cities that they had been persecuted in, preaching the gospel and strengthening the churches. He didn't stop doing what was right because they went through tribulation, but they kept doing more of it and more of it.
It says in Acts 14, going to strengthen the souls of the disciples, encouraging them to continue in the faith, and saying that through many tribulations, we must enter the kingdom of God. Why would I want to suffer so much for being a follower of Jesus? I'll tell you why today. We are looking for a kingdom whose builder and maker is God. And so Paul said in 2 Corinthians 4:16, so we do not lose heart. Though our outer self is wasting away, our inner self is being renewed day by day. For this light, momentary affliction. Don't you like that? A guy that got stoned and left for dead. This is what he says. In a light, momentary affliction. Is preparing for us an eternal weight of glory. Beyond all comparison, as we look not to the things that are seen, but to the things that are unseen. For the things that are seen are transient, but the things that are unseen are eternal. Why should we be patient and endure in tribulations and put up with so much mistreatment and disrespect, shame and injustice? Because we know that the worse the suffering, the bigger the rewards. The fiercer the battle, the greater the victory. We know that the kingdoms of this world and the kingdom of Satan are all going to be swept away. And nothing that we see with our human eyes right now is going to survive. The Bible says there will be a new heaven and a new earth. And the old is going to be renovated with fire. Yes, Brother Rob believes in climate change. But I don't fear it. I look forward to it. Because then the kingdom will come. It's the best investment. It's an investment in heaven. Thieves cannot break in and steal.
Right.
Moths can't eat it up. Rust can't corrupt it.
Right.
Let's all stand together today. What could be worse? What could be worse than the devil's coming persecution? What could be worse than what you've been through, what you may be asked to go through?
Yeah.
How about eternity in hellfire? What could be better than enjoying the pleasures of sin for a season and satisfying the desires and proclivities and longings and lusts of my body? How about eternity as new creatures who are transformed to be like the angels in heaven? How about forever living in Christ's kingdom and serving in His divine administration?
Amen.
Let's bow our heads together today in this prayer. This message bring perspective to the church.
COVID has shaken us. Pandemic has rattled us and jarred our teeth in our head. Rioting, looting, brutality, violence and hatred in our streets and our cities has discouraged us and stricken us with pain. Loss of some freedom, some privileges, inability to function like we always had before, feel pressure in the vice grip of limitation. What are we going to do about? We are going to rise up and praise and worship Jesus. They came to Job's house and told him all of the terrible things that had happened to him as the devil persecuted him terribly. The Bible says that he ripped his clothes, he bowed down, and he worshipped. These are troublesome times. The powers of darkness are ever increasing as we barrel uncontrollably down the hill of destruction towards the end times. Let it not be said about this church. Let it not be said about this preacher and these things. Let it not be said about you that you deserted your post in the most desperate hour. But let it be said of you, the spirit of the judges came up in you. And you said, nobody's taken my bean patch. Hallelujah. And you rise up. Let it be said of you, the Bible says, I believe through Daniel, that they, that there be a time of trouble, but they that know their God will be strong and do exploits. Does anybody hear what this preacher's preaching today? We've held these messages off for months now as we process what's going on. And there is a collective covering up and ignoring of the things that are happening in our world and the transitions that are happening in the mindsets of the people. Everybody wants things to get back to the way that they were. It's time for the church to realize whether or not anything ever gets back to the way it was, it's time for us to get back to work. It's time for us to get back to worship. It's time for us to get back to praise. It's time for us to get back to preaching. It's time for us to get back to interceding. It's time for us to get back to witnessing and praying people through. It's time for us to get back to preaching and teaching the Word of God in the homes of the people in our community. It's time for us to get back to living the life. It's time for us to stop flirting with the spirit of the age. It's time for us to stop complaining about the little inconveniences that we are experiencing right now and get our eyes back on Jesus. Will you pray with me right now and entertain the presence of the Holy Ghost that is here today? God responds to obedience. He responds. He doesn't forgive you before you repent. He forgives you after you repent. He's always wanting to forgive you. But my brother Philip said, he's waiting on you to pull the trigger. He's waiting on you to pull the lever. He's waiting on you to pull the lever that says, I vote for.
for Jesus to be the president of my life, the king of my kingdom, the Lord of lords, the ruler of my soul, the ruler of my thoughts, my feelings, my emotions, my money, my job, my career, my marriage, my family, my children, my grandchildren. Everything that I have is yours, Jesus. And I give it in service unto you. And those things that you give me back as a blessing and as a reward, I praise you and thank you for them and give them back to you again. Oh, come on, church, as we sing praise right here, let us connect in our hearts and let the challenge of the Word of God stir you up to get rid of some thoughts, to bring down some thoughts, and to release the liberty of the Holy Ghost that Jesus died to set you free for. You walk out of this building free. Like Brother Gilbert said, I'm going to tear up my membership to the devil's kingdom. I'm going to tear up my membership to the old life. I'm going to tear up my membership to all that murmuring and complaining. I'm going to tear up my membership to gossip. I'm going to tear up my membership to doubt and fear.